How we doing? I'm not convinced. How we doing? What? Oh, I got an awesome. What? Great, great. Anybody else? Fantastic. Oh, good, good, good. So, do you know that we have a few sneaks in our church? You know what a sneak is, right? Yeah. So I came into my office this week, and guess what I found on my desk? I haven't gotten any confessions yet, but I have Patch Naz, CSI Patch Naz is on this, and when they dust the prints, I will deal with the person who brought this. All right? Now, on a positive note, as Joe Herman has so graciously reminded me, that this is a good thing, because this shows that somebody actually is listening to the messages. They're paying attention, right? So, but I can tell you right now, I'm not breaking this open, and I am not putting on a green mustache. I will do that for my granddaughters, but I am not doing that for you. So, I'm not doing it. So anyway, moving right along, Thanksgiving dinner. Sign-up sheet. Get on it. Are you inviting people? Don't raise your hands, because I don't want to be discouraged. Are you inviting people? Is there someone that could use a great time out, all right? And I mean to just share a meal, to hear the testimonies that day. I think I'm convinced that God, in however he chooses, is going to move upon our time together, because you're going to hear about God's presence in the life of people of this church, you know? And I am just, the more I think about it, the more excited I am getting. So today I want to continue on our God-formed series, and I want to talk about reshaped, redesigned, remodeled. I want to ask you, what do you think God wants to do with your life? Is it possible that he wants to take your life and shape it in such a way that would make just an incredible difference in not only your life, but the people, in the lives of the people around you that are the closest to you? I thought about it this week, and I don't know how you can use different languages. You know, the Bible kind of talks about reshaping, but I thought about it like for some of us guys, we might like and choose the word redesign, you know? When we see the commercial for cars, the new, you know, 2000 or the 2020, you know, whatever car you want to pick, the Acura, the whatever, is redesigned in such a way that it's to get your attention. A lot of times, maybe some of you women would rather choose the word remodel. I want to remodel the kitchen. I'd like to update it. Or you know what happens, you know, you want to get some window dressing, but then it doesn't match the furniture. So now the furniture has to be looked at. I got a head shaking over here because they know. You know, and then that leads to the carpet. Do you rip up the carpet and go to the wood floors and have them sanded, or you put down new carpet? And it's just this whole thing that takes place when we talk about changing things up. And I was just wondering what God wants to change up in our lives, you know? Because I think the worst place that we can be is that where everything is just fine. And there's nothing more that needs to be done. And with God, there's always something else that he wants to do in our lives. And there are just steps that he takes. But the first thing he wants to do in order to make that happen is to get our attention, right? Because once he has our attention, then we can kind of tune in. Okay, Lord, is this what you want to do? We can kind of start to have that dialogue rather than to be kind of blindsided when something comes along. And that can happen to any of us. But the bottom line is God would like to get our attention, and he'd like to let us know and make us aware that he is actively involved in the things that we may not think he is involved in, you know, especially when things go awry, okay? Especially when the song's words don't get up on the screen and we can't follow for whatever, you know, that moment. It doesn't mean God is absent. It just means there's a glitch in the system, right? But he's not absent. And so we have to look at that. So what can we do next week in order to prevent that from happening? It calls for attention. Oh, God, help me with this and help me with that. So quite often, this is something that so often happens in our lives, and it happens in the lives of the history of God's people. So this morning I want to talk about the prophet Jeremiah just briefly and how God got his attention in order to get him to go to get the people of God's attention. And quite often that would happen. God's people would drift off and they would kind of maybe tune him out. Or life would get so distracted and they would get so polluted and diluted in the way they lived their lives that they would just tune God out. And then God would call upon one of his prophets. He would get that prophet's attention, and then the prophet would go and get the people's attention. And so this morning when we look at Jeremiah 18, the first six verses, we're going to see that happening here. It says this, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Here's a people who have kind of gone off, and they are doing what they think may seem right in their own minds and hearts. But they're doing life their own way, and God wants to get their attention. Now, despite what many in our world think, God is not trying to get our attention so he can pound us. But in fact, he seeks to get our attention through pains and sorrows and other things that happen in our lives because he loves us. He loves us. And the question is, what can God do with a people who are marred and quite not right? What can he do? Well, I think he can do a lot. And the Bible kind of teaches so often that he does do a lot when he can get the people's attention and to bring them kind of around. And I said to you earlier, what kind of shape, what kind of form does God want to bring in your life? What might he want to do? You see, because to one degree or another, in this state, in this human nature, we're all a little deformed or out of shape. And what I mean by that is when God created us, he wanted us to take on the form that we find in Christ, the image of his son, his image. But over time, human nature sets in, and we become disformed, become out of shape. And when we read this morning that the clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, it wasn't that the potter had spoiled it, but it had seemed to have come out of shape and blemished and marked up on its own as it sat there. And now he wants to rework it and reshape it because he wants to do something good with it. And do something good in it. Because his nature is good. And I want to say to you, when things are happening in your life, when things don't seem to connect, when a moment seems to be spoiled, or when there's suffering that comes along, and you just can't put things together, and things don't seem to flow, and there's conflict and friction and upsetment and heartache, doesn't mean that God is absent. It's at those moments where God has an opportunity, because I think it's those moments where God gets our attention. Otherwise, we kind of stroll through life. And when things are good, we tend to ignore him. And we kind of go about our days, one running into another. And you know what that's like. We all say, "Boy, it doesn't seem like time is flying." Because it is. It's just constantly circling around. Before you know it, one day is, and every year it's the same thing. I can't believe Christmas is almost here, right? Didn't it come on quick this year? Every year I hear that. Every year I'm saying it. Isn't it? I can't believe how quick it's come. You know? And so it just keeps continuing and turning out and turning out and turning out. And yet, when something happens and gets caught up in the gears of our life, and all of a sudden we come to a screeching halt, or the belt, you know, breaks, and the motor ceases to drive, and we have to pull over and get a mechanic to replace the belt, it's a time where our attention is gotten. I got to pull over. I got to take a break. And quite often, those glitches in our lives, mechanically, emotionally, financially, and on, are indicators that maybe at this moment, God wants to get his hands on me. And he wants to do work in me. Now, I personally believe God's hands are always on us. But I think sometimes while we're in his hands, as with the potter, we spoil. We go off. We kind of get out of shape. Sometimes we go through so much, we get bent out of shape. You know what I mean? And so that can happen to the best of us, any of us. We all kind of go through these things. But at the end of the day, God is good. And his choice for us is always to do something good. You see, because his is not to destroy. His desire, his heart for us is not to take the clay and throw it up against the wall and say, I've had it. I can't work with this. But instead, his desire is to reshape and redesign and remodel and to work what is before him because he loves us. He loves us because he's a God of love, right? We talk about it, but I want to tell you, do you believe that God is still a God of love when the bottom drops out of your life? When all the plans that you thought you had in place that were going to take place and you I'm sure there's not a person here today that thought themselves to be in another place than where they are in their life right now. Large or small, dramatic or just slight, but we all probably could imagine ourselves in another place. Maybe in a better health. Maybe in a more financially secure position. Maybe where our relationships with family were much better than they are. Maybe those of us who are older would hope that our children would turn out differently. For the record, I am very happy with my daughter and the way her life has turned out. You know? I just want to say this for the record because I'll get questioned after the service, you know? And I don't want to be interrogated. So, but I'm going to tell you, we all have things that we can look back over and say, you know, man, I just thought life would turn out differently. I thought I'd be in a different place. But God is present, and God is at work, and God is loving. And even when things are just bottomed out, and we are like kind of almost flatlined, you know, maybe we get a little blip on the monitor that there's a little life going on. God is present, and he's loving. So I want to preface the next scripture because this is such a well-known, so used. Scripture, portion of scripture that we can kind of hear it and we've heard it before. But I'm praying that God will breathe new life into this because it's all about the love of God. And this is God, again, through Jeremiah, coming to the people who are just bottomed out. I mean, they're a mess. But God is not done with them. God's placed his hands. He has his hands firmly around the clay, around the people. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. For I know... This is God. Listen to the confidence in God's heart. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare. In other words, to help you, to care for you, to provide for you. Not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. A future, something to look forward to. A hope that you can take with both your hands and say, you know what? My life might be a mess, but I'm believing God is at work and God is going to do something. Then you will call upon me, key, and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Pastor John, in one of the studies on Philemon, by the way, this Wednesday will be the last study on Philemon. You can still come. Trust me, you'll get something out of it. But something he said took a hold of my heart, and I went, yes. He said, you know what? When we go through times and problems, God is wanting to say, I'm here for you, and I want you to know me better. I will allow you to go through these struggles because in my heart, I want you to be close to me and me to you and for you to know that I am with you. And if I have to do this to get your attention. Now, he didn't say all that. I'm building on that. But it was basically saying, he wants you to know him better. That's what John said. He wants God wants us to know him better, to call upon him, to come to him and to pray to him. And what's he say? I will hear you. He's not going to say, hey, I'm busy right now. Can you come back later? You know? I'm here for you. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You hear that? God wants us in close, with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you. Hold on to that. Where I have driven you. Declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. I want to say to you, whether in close or separated or feeling separated from God or feeling driven or apart, God is with us, regardless of how we feel or what's going on in our lives. Regardless, he's with us. And his promise is that he's going to bring us back to a place. A place where we know, without a doubt, that God has changed our lives. I want to tell you that when God gets his hands on you, it is because he wants you to know he loves you that much. So when he is reshaping you, when the things of life are really pricking you, and the pain can be exhausting and draining, God is there. His hands are on you. If you feel separated, he is there. When you feel out somewhere and apart, he is there. Because at those moments, he's saying, I'm here for you. I love you. I will bring you in close. I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. But I feel this. I feel God. I feel so separated. I have a plan for you. But no buts. I have a plan for you. And I care about you. And I just want you to know my plan and my path for your life. If you would just come to me, turn your attention to me, give me just a little bit of your time, I promise I will multiply my goodness in your life. If you just make a small deposit with me, I will do it in you. God's attention is constantly upon us. And I find that to be reflective in a quote I want to share with you from C.S. Lewis. Many of you may know this, but C.S. Lewis said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He whispers to us. And he speaks in our consciousness, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now, you can break this down, but I look at it this morning and I want to share it from this perspective, that regardless of what's happening and what place we are in our lives, God is present. So even when things are going great and God might be some of the furthest thing from our minds, he's present. And at those moments, he's whispering, I'm here for you. By the way, everything that you're enjoying right now, I've done it. I've given it to you. Now, some would say he's whispering because all the other things are so much louder, you know. You know, all the enjoyments, the gatherings, the things that we can, they kind of get louder. But the bottom line is God is still present. And he didn't say, I'm not talking to you. But he'd be whispering. And then it says he speaks to our conscience. Our conscience. God is wanting to break through. Many of you have experienced that, going about your day, and all of a sudden, you feel him saying something. Something's speaking in your heart, you know? And you know he's around. And then he shouts in our pain. In other words, God uses those moments to get our attention. We're on the wheel. He has his hands on us. And all of a sudden, we spoil. And he goes right to it. He's going to start reshaping. A little more water on his hands. That wheel is spinning. He's reshaping. He's reworking. But meanwhile, we're feeling all kinds of things. You know? We're feeling the pain of life. But he's using that pain at that moment to do something that you and I can't imagine. And I have to tell you, and I won't go through the list of the times where the pain was deafening and devastating in my life. Different moments, in different occasions. Many of you have shared some of the same pains I have. And I have to tell you, whenever I'd come through it, I'd say, you know what? It was horrible, but seeing what God has done in my life now, I would do it all over again. It sounds kind of crazy, right? Almost like sadomasochist, right? Kind of feel to it. But I could identify that I wasn't the same person after he got his hands on me. After he used the pain in my life, he used it to reshape my life. And when I came through it, I was not the same person. I was not the same man. I was different. God had worked something in my life that wasn't there before. And I found that I carried more of his presence and more of his nature in this jar of clay that he was at work forming. And I was grateful for it. And I would thank him, not for the pain, not for the discomfort, but the fact that he was in it with me and he worked in my life. Because who walks around going, oh man, I'm really glad I'm suffering today, man. This is great. I want to do this tomorrow again. I'd say, I have a good psychiatrist for you. See me after church. Nobody walks around like that, but you, there's something good that comes out of it. Because God is not absent, and he is at work in us, and he's working it, and he's working, And I love the way C.S. Lewis says it's a megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So I thought about the word rouse, and it means to stir, you know, to stir up, right? To provoke. And I thought about that word. And I want to say, when God seeks to rouse us, it is not to do it the way I did growing up in my parents' home with my brother. My brother and I were like night and day, salt and pepper. We were just so different in so many ways. And every now and then I had an opportunity to get even with him. You know what I mean? When you want to get even with a sibling, you know? So, you know, he it might be a Saturday. It was a Saturday, and he was sleeping in, and, you know, my mother would say, you know, could you wake up your brother for me? He has to, you know, get up at such and such a time. So knowing full well what I was doing, went up to the doorway of the stairway going upstairs, and I would open the door, and yeah, you know I have a big mouth, right? I don't need to convince you of that, right? But I opened the door, and I would go, John, it's time to get up! And he would, you know when you get woken up like that, he would yell back, all right! Yeah. And I knew every time when I did that, I was getting under his skin, you know? I'd just be irritating him. I'd be getting him, you know? I'd be provoking him. But it was one of those few opportunities I would get even with him, right? Another word for rouse is to awaken, right? And you know, oh God, how often I'm praying, Lord, make us more aware of your presence. Make us as a people more aware of your presence. And arouse means to disturb, right? And sometimes we do. As a people, we get comfortable. And a little disruption is good for the soul. Kind of feel things. You know, this is what's happening. But also, being roused has a way of galvanizing, or as we like to use in Christian circles, reviving, causing to happen, bringing together. And that's, as we go forward, that's my desire for us as a people of God, that as we join our hearts together, God would galvanize us for a single purpose, which is to glorify him, to share his love and kindness with people, that we would be a people who were attractive to the world around us, that they would see something different in us, that things would begin to happen. So I want to ask you before we go today, I want you to go and think about this. Regardless of how old you are, regardless how some of us, and of course I'm not using this literally, so you know, if you're struggling with weight and stuff like that, please strike that. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? So, but if regardless of how old we are and how out of shape we can become, what do you think God wants to do in your life? How do you think he wants to shape you? Last week we looked at that video and the guy started talking while the guy was working on the clay and he goes, I'm not sure what I'm going to be when I grow up. But he was confident that God was doing something. I want to ask you, what do you think God wants to do in your life as you're growing up? And don't tell me, oh, I'm 65, I'm 72. What do you think God wants to do in your life, regardless of how old you are? What do you think he wants to shape you into? And whatever that might be, you have a God that you can go to and say, Lord, here I am. I so desire, I so want to know what it is that you might have for my life, because no matter what I do sometimes, no matter how many plans I could make, no matter how wise I think I can be in my own self, it's not happening for me. I find myself in a pit, in a ditch, between a rock and a hard place, up against the wall. Yeah. And I would like that to change, you know? I'd like you to do something. I want to tell you, it's a good place to be when you realize, and when I realize that I can't really make it happen, you know? Because it's not about me. It's about him and us. I mean, I think quite often, you know, the things that God has done in my life. Because without him, I wouldn't be where I am today. And not that I've arrived, not that any of us have arrived anywhere, because we all have so much further to go, but we've come to the place where we are, and we're moving in the right direction because of his presence in our lives. Because we are his people, we are his clay, and we are in his hands. And I want you to go away today with the image that you are always in his hands. Regardless of whether you believe that or not, you have been made by him. Whether you sit here and say, I don't believe in this God stuff today or not, you've been made. God is working in your life. He's desiring good things for you and me. And he just wants us to know that his hands are ready to work in our lives. That we are his clay, that we belong to him, and to no other. And that we sit on his wheel. Maybe that might explain sometimes when we get a little dizzy, you know? Because he's working it, you know? But that's okay. Even in that, God is present. God is always present, and he's always at work. And so this morning, as we're going to close with sharing a song, and it's called Waymaker. And, you know, it really speaks to the presence of God in our lives, and that he is able to do and does great things. And again, I want to tell you, if you and I would just take the time out and to be aware, to be aroused by the different parts of life that come and hit us from time to time, to know that God is at work, I want to tell you, you will experience, you will be able to identify his hand at work in your life. And that's what he wants. That's his desire, for us to know him better, Because he already knows you and I. Every hair on our head. The next step we're going to take. The next sentence that we're going to share, even before the thoughts and the words get formed in our hearts and minds. He knows. So with that, I'm going to ask Tiffany to come up and prepare to play. I want to give you an opportunity as you're listening to this song to come before God. You can do that from where you're sitting. You can come up front. You can sit in the front row. If you so want, you can come and kneel. There's no place that's off limits. But if you're saying, oh God, I just don't understand the things that I'm feeling right now, but I'd like to trust you. I want to trust you and to say I believe that you are at work in my life. Come. I come to you. I seek you. But come and touch my life. Let me just say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for your presence. Lord, as we stand together and worship, oh God, Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. And we want to say we believe that you are the way maker in our lives. And we just want to give ourselves to you now at this moment. Why don't you stand with me as Tiffany leads us in this song.
Tears, you mend a broken heart. God, we know that we are in the presence of you. Come meet with us so that we can move through life and pass on your presence through us to everyone we come across. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you go today, if you want to spend time with either Pastor John, Nick, or myself, or those people that you know that you can pray with, take that time before you go today. Trust me. Open your heart to God, and He will fill it. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week.